Tony Broome Ministries presents the following message entitled, The People's Choice.
People have always had a choice. It's good to know that we are created in the image of God. Scripture says that God made man in his own image. The image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We are created to look like and be like God. Now, we'll never become God, but we are created in the image and likeness of God. So we are superior to all the other creation. We are created to do what God would do if he was here. And when he came as one of us. He didn't come as an angel. He didn't come as a monkey. He came as one of us. So that's what God would do if he were here. And that's what Jesus did. And even though we're created in the image and likeness of God, we still have a choice. God made us, the expression is, a free moral agent. Amen. We have the power of choice. Amen. Some people think that once you become a Christian, that you are robotic, that you are programmed, and that God programs you such that you don't have a will anymore. You can't do it even if you wanted to. Well, that's nonsense. Amen. Doesn't make any sense. Right. We do not lose our power of choice just because we come to Christ. As a matter of fact, we should yield our will more to Christ, certainly when after we're born again, than we did before. Amen. But we still have a choice. God wants us to choose to love him, to choose to serve him. Amen. To choose to do what's right. To do what's right because we want to, not because we have to. Amen. In the millennial reign, when Jesus comes again, everybody on earth will do what's right because they have to, whether they want to or not. But that's not the way God wants us to be in the new covenant. He wants us to serve him and love him because we want to. Amen. To come to church because we like it. Not because we have to. To give because we want to. Amen. Not because we have to. To be a Christian because we want to. Not because we have to. Amen. So we still have a choice. I want to talk to you today about the people's choice. They didn't make the right choice. And many times we, as part of the people, we have not made the right choice either. Amen. Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Does it sound familiar to you that a particular stack or stock of leaders would persuade the whole multitude of the people to do a certain thing that you wouldn't think they would do? Well, that didn't just start today either. Here the chief priests and the elders, they persuaded the multitude. They swayed the people to do what they wanted to do instead of what the people might wanted to have done if they would have done it on their own. Right. But you cannot be swayed by a particular person or party. You cannot be swayed by what your mother-in-law thinks or what your son or daughter thinks. You have to know what's right because of what God said. Amen. And so here the choice was that they were persuaded by the corrupt leadership to destroy Jesus and to choose Barabbas. This is what you call a popularity vote. It was popular, but it wasn't right. So it says, the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? Now there are two. Choose one of these two. Does that sound familiar? When you have an election, usually it comes down to two people. You got to choose one of the two. It was a no-brainer. The choice was obvious. Most of the time, when you're a Christian, the choice is obvious. I wish, you don't get anywhere by wishing perhaps, but I wish that everything in my life would have been as easy as the choice that I had to make when I voted as a Christian. Because some things are just no-brainers. Some things are just common sense, spiritual, false sense. And he says here, which one of the two will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Well, that's a dastardly thing to say, don't you think? That's a bad thing to say. The governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. They couldn't even give a straight answer as to what crime he had committed. Of course, the reason is we know that he hadn't committed any crime. Right. He hadn't done anything wrong. Amen. All they were just out for blood. Let him be crucified. They had their agenda set, and it didn't matter what anybody said or what anybody did about it. And the choice was so corrupt, it was so obvious. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Pilate knew that he was a just person. Isn't that amazing? He knew that he hadn't done anything wrong. In fact, he said, I find no fault in him. I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You have an advantage. You have your hand out because you can see the stars and the things. I don't know, I put doodle dads, anything I could put around a word to make it stand out. I am innocent. Oh, no, you're not either. Who is innocent? No one is innocent. I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to that. They answered, all of them, and said to the people, his blood be on us and on our children. Now I want you to know that that is fulfilled right to this day. Right. His blood is on them. His blood is on their children. And they have suffered immensely because of that one statement. Let his blood be on us. And let it be on our children. Do you know what? That thing could be turned around the other way. If you get right with God, his blood in the right way, in the good way, can be on you and can be on your children, can bless your home, can forgive your sins, can wash you as white as snow. Oh, that his blood would be on me in that way. Oh, that his blood would be on our families, on our children, on our grandchildren in the good way. Let his blood in the right way be on us and on our children. Not in the wrong way, in the way of judgment, but in the good way, in the way of redemption. Let his blood of cleansing and redemption and power and salvation, let that kind of blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. When he scourged him, that is a whipping post. In Pilate's judgment hall, Jesus bore the sins in his body. He bore the stripes. When Pilate scourged him, Jesus bore the stripes by which you and I can be healed. Amen. By his stripes, we are healed. That took place on that whipping post that day. And people say that he suffered those 39 stripes. But I bear before you today, you think they did everything else wrong, that they didn't do that right either. They counted one. And then they said, did I say one? They keep going back to one. Ain't no telling how many times they said one. They didn't know 39. It might have been 39 times 39. It's a wonder if they hadn't beat him to death. If it hadn't been predetermined in the knowledge of God that he would be crucified, they probably would have beaten him to death. That's the way they treat the innocent Son of God. Mark 15:15, so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them. He delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. So this verse tells us that he did it to content the people. Watch out for a choice that you make to content the people. Most time when you do something to content the people, the secular crowd, the world, you're not doing the right thing. Pilate was not doing the right thing, even though, praise God for us, it turned out as redemption. But he didn't do the right thing. He appeased and contented the people, but it wasn't the right thing. Luke 23:25, he released unto them him that for sedition, that sedition means conduct or speech, inciting people to rebel against the authority of the government. In other words, rioting. Sedition. This Barabbas was involved in sedition and murder. He was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. That's a bad thing to be delivered to the will of this world, isn't it?
Amen.
That's what he did to Jesus. Delivered him to their will. Barabbas, the one who was involved in sedition, rioting, murder, was cast into prison. They desired a prisoner to be set free, and the one who should have been free to be like a prisoner. John 18:40. Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. And now the Gospels give us all these details. He was a seditionist. He was involved in extortion and murder, rioting. And now John tells us he's a robber. Watch out for someone who will take that which is not theirs. Amen. And watch out for a government who would get involved in taking that which is not theirs.
Amen.
Taking that from the people which they should not take to oppress the people. John 19, the last part of verse 15, Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." That's the dumbest thing you could say.
Amen.
The Jews, God's chosen people, should have had nobody ruling over them. Now here they are under Roman authority, under Roman oppression and government, and they actually choose Caesar as their king. And the king of the Jews, who was standing right there in front of them, they could have had the kingdom then, but they rejected it by rejecting Christ, and they chose Caesar, a man who would oppress them, and under his authority and under his governors in 70 AD would almost destroy Jerusalem, leveling it to the ground. And as Jesus said, not one stone or another of the temple would be left, one on top of the other. Desolation, despair, destruction, slaughter, all this happened under the same Caesar emperor, having no mercy on God's people. And we've seen it happen. We've seen it happen in Mussolini. We've seen it happen in Hitler. We've seen the Jews oppressed, persecuted, gassed to death, Holocaust, and even in our age, all this anti-Semitism, all this hatred for the Jews, hatred for Christians, going against God's people. Acts chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. "But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life." Think about it, killing the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. They couldn't get away from it. Every time they tried to bury it, every time they tried to get away from it, God would send some Holy Ghost man or woman to say, "This is what you did. This is what happened." If you want to make correct choices, they have to be based on right standards. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." That means those who are saved, those who are born again. "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught," that come to nothing. The wisdom of this world and the princes, the leaders of this world, secular humanism,
amen,
socialism, all the isms of this world, all the wisdom of this world, it comes to naught. It comes to nothing.
Amen.
"But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God before ordained unto our glory," before the world. God ordained it before the world unto our glory. God knew before anything was ever created what would happen, and he created godly wisdom so you and I could have a way to escape and get out. It's the wisdom which none of the princes of this world knew. They were smart. They graduated from Harvard and Yale, but they didn't know the wisdom of God.
Amen.
They had a lot of head sense as far as intellectualism, but they didn't have sense enough to get in out of the rain when it came to real issues of common sense of life.
Amen.
You can have education, but it doesn't mean you have salvation.
Amen.
In fact, he said here, "None of the princes of this world knew the godly wisdom, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory."
That's right.
You'd think for a moment if they really knew what they thought they knew, that they would have crucified him, not on your life. They wouldn't. Paul, he describes these kind of people in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 as the Jews who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, the apostles. They please not God. They're contrary to all men. Sound like a good political record, doesn't it? Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. It's bad enough when you don't want to get saved yourself, when you're such a booger and a devil that you keep other people from getting saved and getting right with God. This is what they were bent on doing. To be so bent on a certain agenda that you would give up the freedom, you would desecrate your country, desecrate the flag and the honor and the patriotism and the Constitution. You would do anything. You would give your family up. You would do anything just to go on your own hot dog agenda. And there's so many people that are doing that now. They're going after the wisdom of this world. It's the people's choice, but it ain't the right choice. Bad, dumb, stupid, and wrong choices didn't just start being made yesterday. In the very beginning, in Adam, we chose the devil over God. Noah's generation chose the flood of destruction rather than the ark of safety. Exodus chapter 32 has Israel choosing gods of gold over Jehovah. They said, "These are thy gods, O Israel, that have led you up out of the land of Egypt." A God that couldn't see, couldn't walk, couldn't hear, couldn't do anything. And they said, "These are thy gods, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt." We don't know what happened to this Moses. Well, I'll tell you what happened to him. Nothing happened to him. He was up there begging God to have mercy. He was up there seeking the face of God, getting instructions from God to build them a temple and tabernacle of God, to have the Ark of the Covenant of God put in there. And they, in the very moment, they were making gods of gold. They chose bondage rather than freedom, slavery more than salvation. They chose the wilderness rather than the land of Canaan. God said, "You go in there and I'll give it to you." And they said, "No, we can't do it. We're like grasshoppers. They're giants. They're big. They are the sons of Anak." Anak means they got long necks. They're real big. They chose Saul to reign over them rather than acknowledging the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be their king and rule over them. God told Samuel, "Don't be upset, boy. They're not rejecting you. They rejected me, that I should not reign over them." They chose Assyrian and Babylonian captivity over the calmness, peace, and security of their promised land. God said, "I've given you this land." He already gave it to them. They didn't have to get it. They didn't have to swindle anybody out of it. They didn't have to buy the land. He said, "I've given you the land. I've given it to Abraham and to his seed forever." All they had to do is go in and take possession of it. Amen. Many things God has given us, but we're just sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the time go away. And we're not taking possession of our promised land. And we're accusing God of not giving us the good things when God has already given us more than a land filled with milk and honey. And we're just sitting by waiting on God to do this, and God is waiting on us to go in and take possession of our promised land. They chose the mess of their misery rather than the Messiah and his miracles. He was standing right there in front of them. Jesus said, "Why do you not believe my word? Even because you cannot hear my speech, why do you not understand what I'm saying to you? Don't you realize that I am the bread of life? Don't you realize that I am the one who is doing all these miracles? If I had not come and done the miracles that nobody else did, you might have had an excuse, but now you have no cloak for your sin." All these miracles. And John said, though he had done so many miracles, yet they believed not on him. Well, we can keep on saying they, but what about us? We have chosen darkness rather than light. John said, we love evil. We hate the light because our deeds are evil. And we choose darkness rather than light. We have chosen sin instead of the Savior. We've all been there. We were in sin. We were born in sin. We lived in sin. And when we were presented with the gospel, we said, "No, I don't want that. I want to stay out here and have a good time." All the time we were having a bad time. Didn't know it.
Amen.
blinded by sin and thought sin was the best. When you get so deluded by the adversary that you think sin is the best, you're really in bad shape. Yep. We have chosen sin instead of the Savior.
Amen.
We choose war and not peace.
Mm-hmm.
We can have peace.
Yep.
And He wants us to have it. But many times we choose war. A country, we choose war instead of peace.
Yep.
Communism over capitalism.
Yep.
Socialism over society, private enterprise.
Yep.
God has given us a nation like no other nation on earth.
Amen.
And through society, through private enterprise, a man can have pride, the right kind of pride in what he has built, what God has allowed him to have his own land, to have his house, to have his business.
Amen.
And we would rather trade that all away for socialism,
right.
Have a little pension by the government, don't do anything.
Right.
We choose fraud rather than fact, a liberal over a lover of God and country. That's the people's choice, my beloved. It's the people's choice, but it's not the right choice.
Amen.
The people's choice is to kill rather than to heal. If you don't believe it, look at all the looting and killing and riot and trouble that's going on all across the world, all across the nations of the world. We choose legal abortion instead of life for the unborn. If you think it's bad now, God help us, for the agenda that's coming, when the things of good will be overturned, and all the abortion. America has legalized abortion. It's always been there, but it hasn't been legalized always.
Right.
When you put your stamp of legality and approval on that which God hates, it's no wonder that our nation is going to hell in a handbasket.
Amen.
We have chosen to kill our unborn. Those who cannot speak for themselves.
Right.
Those who cannot have a voice for themselves. Those who we feel like are inconvenience. We just do away with it. We choose same-sex merging, but not the sanctity of holy matrimony.
Right.
Go on down to the barn. You don't see no rooster walking arm in arm.
Amen.
Our dogs do better than that.
Amen.
Our beagle dogs, our hunting dogs, they know not to get with the same kind.
Amen.
Monkeys got more sense than that.
Yep.
Yet we legalize same-sex marriage, give them benefits. If you don't believe it, I've done the insurance for our family for years. You go on the website, you look at the Medicare website, and they got provisions there for homos, they got provisions there for the same sex. They can have the same benefits on Medicare that you have. But it shouldn't be. It's an abomination in the sight of God.
Amen.
We choose lethal death, calling it euthanasia for the elderly, instead of length of life or a legacy of longevity.
Right.
The psalm talks about your children and your children's children, but it cannot be, because you get to a certain age. And in case nobody's told you lately, most of us are in that age.
Yeah.
Well, they don't feel like you're important anymore.
Right.
You're a menace to society.
Right.
You're blind. You're crippled. You have problems. You're wheezing. You cannot produce anymore. You're not a producer to society. You can't work and you can't do this and you can't do that. Well, we got generations in their 20s that's sitting around on the front porch dribbling a basketball. If you're going to go by that, let's go all across the board.
Amen.
You talking about racism and going against the color, let's do all colors alike, then you won't have no problem.
Right.
Our older people, grandmothers, mothers and fathers, they get in a certain age and we cannot keep them alive anymore. They're too much expense to our medical. They're too much expense to society. They're too much of a menace to look after and take care of. And so some quack doctor, and they even got him called Dr. Death, that decide, I thought if you were a doctor, you decided for life and not death. So you got, they decide to kill the unborn, that's on one end of the spectrum, and they decide to kill us old folks on the other end of the spectrum.
Right.
And so all you got left is a bunch of middle class fruitcakes that don't know one end from the other. Moses said, behold, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy children may be blessed.
Yes.
We have a choice.
Yes.
The choice is ours. We cannot blame anyone.
Right.
Even though sometimes people make a good choice, and it's not their fault that it's taken away by rigged elections and by people who steal things that are not theirs and make it look like everything is just Grozin, Rubin, everything is all right.
Yeah.
And we don't have power to do anything about it. The power of the Supreme Court prevails in this land. And as Brother John Hagee says, you may get away, judges, from the vote of the people, but you will not get away from God Almighty. We have said for a long time that the majority rules. Yes, they may rule, but it's not always right.
Amen.
Many have had to stand alone in order to make the right choice for God. Sometimes when you make the choice for God, don't expect everybody to like you. You're not going to be the popular kid on the block.
Amen.
Noah, Job, Moses, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Jesus, and Paul, just to name a few. They stood alone. Paul said, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but the Lord, He stood with me.
Amen.
He comforted me. What about you? What about us? Will we continue making the wrong choice, even though it may be the people's choice by rejecting Christ? Do you choose to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's the only way that anybody will see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Jesus said you must be born again.
Amen.
In order to see the kingdom of God. You have to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
It doesn't matter whether you're the pastor's friend or not. It doesn't matter whether you goody-goody with everybody on the board. The thing is, do you have your name in the book?
Right.
Have your place been took in the book? Do you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Will you choose God's wrath or your redemption? Choose this day who you will serve. That's what Joshua said.
Amen.
Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Do you choose hell or will you choose heaven? The choice is ours.
Amen.
The people's choice is not the right choice many times, but we can make the right choice.
Amen.
And thank God we have made the choice to serve God and to praise the Lord. Praise God. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in this place today.
Amen.
We love you, Lord. Your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We have chosen the way of righteousness. It's not by anything good in us. It's not by what we know in ourselves. It's not by any righteousness that we have. But according to your mercy, you saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And we thank you for that today. Our righteousness comes from you alone. And we thank you, Lord, for that choice. We thank you that we made the right choice. We have decided to follow Jesus. And we thank you for that. I pray that many would make that choice today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a message entitled, The People's Choice. Make sure that you have chosen Jesus Christ as your Savior and make Him your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broome Ministries.